Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes,
you know, this is a day when we started a few days ago. It was a joy and a blessing and an enthusiasm when we meet, when we're parting and going our different ways. It's more of a mixed feeling. But we know that we will keep in touch in the spirit. We pray for each other. And so it's not that sad as well. I'm standing here. Praise God. This morning, we're going to have our communion service, which is a very solemn time, I believe, when Jesus, with that whole scenery, and the Garden of Gethsemane, when he came and with his disciples, and then he had the breaking of bread, the bread and the wine, and he ministered to them. That must have been something heavy on his heart. And so as we prepare our minds, our hearts, to partake of the Lord's Supper, may we, first of all, let us not forsake the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's table. And I'm glad it's not a table of global missions or some other table or of any person, because it is the Lord's table. So whosoever will, we're all invited to partake. And I often share this. It's embarrassing when someone come to your home and you offer a meal and they refuse that meal. So, and the Lord's Supper is very special. So let's just bow our heads as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that we could gather. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us, your Spirit will be present, that you will inspire us, anoint us by their Father, that we will say the things that you would have us to say. Yes. Anoint every listening ear. Anoint our hearts. Anoint us, dear God. May your presence be so real and be felt among us that we, dear God, would just enter in. Thank you, Lord, for preparing our hearts. Dear Lord, we thank you for the bread and the wine, not just mere eating, but, dear God, the depth and the meaning and the significance of the supper that you had prepared, dear Father. Hallelujah. We pray you bless us now, dear Lord. Bless this meeting. Hallelujah. Minister to our hearts as we yield to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. I think of that beautiful song. It was Charlotte Elliott from England. When she was in her 30s, she was ill. And minister came. In fact, her uncle might have been a minister, if I could remember. But anyway, someone spoke to her about the Lord, and she asked the question, when can I accept the Lord, or where can I come to the Lord, or when can I give my life over to the Lord? How can I come? And those questions that people would normally ask. And the reply came, there was such a resounding reply, come just as you are. And those beautiful words were written, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I know sometimes we feel that we have failed God miserably, but this is the time that we can come to the Lord, and whatever things that we might have done, and whatever wrong we might have done, we can make it right and ask the Lord to forgive us our sins, and so that when we partake, we will not take damnation ourselves. So if we find that hymn,
it's page 79.
Oh, 79. So can we all stand as we sing that? And
do you want to have the piano player or something?
Yes.
If we can we have the piano player, please? Yes.
And if
Joe?
So while we are singing this song, may we just sense that the Lord, this is a song not only for those who are coming to know Jesus as Savior. It's for all of us. Because
Amen.
The Lord accepts
yes.
us with arms.
Amen.
The
glory.
Symbolism of the cross is
Hallelujah.
Very deep. Open wide. His arms are open wide. Just to receive
glory.
Us. And young people, we want to assure you, the Lord loves you, irrespective of what the enemy might want to put in your minds and in your ears. Amen. Let's sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou wouldst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
And the sixth verse, and if we could sing that verse, those two verses, without any music. Just sing it quietly, reverently, realizing that the Lord is saying to you, just as we are, He will receive us,
yes,
cleanse us, relieve us of the stress, of the burdens, whatever we might think that we are going home to face with, even that, and the Lord will strengthen us. So just come to Him. Just His arms are around you, just strengthening you, just pouring out of His love, and His grace is sufficient for you. So let's sing, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive."
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise. barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yea, I have given you my word. My words will resonate with you. My words will bring life. My words will bring joy. My words will bring life.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, believe my words, and my words shall dwell in you alive. 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 Believe my word. Receive my word. Enter into the depths of my word. Yea, and I shall lift you up. I shall set you free.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And walk and enter in and possess even those things that thine heart has longed after, that thou hast seen as it were afar off, has the Lord brought unto thee this day, that thou mayest arise and walk with him and enter in. Yes. Therefore walk, saith the Lord, under my covering. Submit thou to my hand and to my headship, saith the Lord. Walk softly before me.
Yes.
Let thine ears be open to his voice.
Yes,
and let thine heart be receptive to his word. For he shall lead thee, saith the Lord, in a sure way. And thou shalt lay thy hands upon the possessions that the Lord has set before thee. Even in this hour is the Lord bringing thee into that place, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I have not come short in blessing thee, my little ones. For I have seen that your need is far greater than what you have of your own. I'm with you to abide with you, to sustain you,
yeah,
to love you,
amen,
to even honor you because you have taken the right path.
Hallelujah.
I have clothed you as my robe of righteousness. Feel its warmth, feel its comfort. For yea, I have clothed thee. If that robe feels uncomfortable, cast it not away. But yea, get rid of that thing that causes the discomfort and come back. Yea, I do forgive thee. I do cleanse thee. I do make thee whole. Yea, come unto me. My righteousness is for you. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For even as you have heard my word go forth this week, saith the Lord.
Yes.
So I shall continue to speak to you and bring to your remembrance those things that are pertinent to your life, and I shall show you who you are in me. Yea, I shall reveal it unto you. Yea, and I shall reveal to you how you fit into the body. Yea, and I shall reveal unto you what you are to do at every moment, saith the Lord. Only listen closely and pay attention to me, saith the Lord, and don't allow the enemy to distract you here or there to listen to other things, but listen unto my voice, saith the Lord, and I shall lead you. Only submit unto me and yield to my righteousness, saith the Lord, as I as I do my righteousness through you, saith the Lord God.
It is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. My people depend on the spirit that I have placed within thee. Deep crieth unto the deep. My dear people, depend on the Lord. Every step that you take, I have placed my spirit in you. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Young people, listen to the voice of the Spirit that I have placed in you. Do not go to the left, do not go to the right, but go straight in the path that I carved out for you. Let not your mind be distracted in the things of the world, which you will be exposed. Come unto me, seek me, depend on me, and I will guide you. My spirit that is in you will let you know how you should deal with that situation. Oh, my people, I love you, and I want you to be by my side. I keep communing with you. How much I desire to come to you and commune with you. My people, let there be a new chapter in your walk with me. I will reveal greater things to you, and you will realize the things of the Spirit are much greater than the things of this world. Oh, my people, walk closely with me. Listen to my voice, my people. I will call you, remind you, and I call you by your name, and I will turn you around, saith the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
My word is truth. My love is everlasting toward thee. As I lead thee in the path that I wish to direct thee in, step forth in faith, believing that my love is sufficient for thee. And oh, my little ones, listen to the Spirit within thee and stand strong in those promises that I have given unto thee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My children, as you seek me, you will find me.
Yes.
A new door has been opened.
Yea, my children, and I would say unto you,
yes,
that if you have difficulty finding me, have the elders pray with you.
Yes.
Have somebody in the body pray with you, my children. For I say unto you, where two or three are gathered, there I am. And ye have need of one another. You cannot walk this alone. Don't be an island. Don't be proud. Don't be fearful. For I say unto you, my children, I have an everlasting love for you, and I have placed you in the family of God, that we might join hands together, my children, that we might all supply what is needed at the right time. So I say unto you, if you have difficulties in your life, be not afraid to seek out your brother or sister and ask for prayer. That's the word of the Lord thy God. I have said it so that healing can flow, my children. For I do not expect you to do this on your own, but yea, ye have need of my spirit,
Ye have need of my presence, and ye have need of each other. So use each other, my children. Love each other. Be available one to another. Yea, and ready always to pray and minister one to another. I love you, my children. And as I said, a new door has been opened. These things that have dogged your steps in the past, seek my face and they will fall off. Because there is a new authority. These things cannot stand in my presence. They cannot. Believe, my children. Just believe.
Amen.
Thank you.
My beloved, I am preparing people without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
I am taking you through the narrow road where those things that you didn't think you could live without now need to be cast away. And yeah, you cannot do it yourself. So stand firm in the body which I have placed you in. Do not be conformed to this world and its way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes by staying in my presence, staying in the body, staying in the ark. Don't look back as Lot's wife did, and seek to know the truth which I have laid before thee.
Amen.
My presence shall be with thee.
Yes.
My presence shall go before thee.
Glory.
Yea, mine anointing shall rest upon my people, saith the Lord. And they that seek after me shall find me. Lo, many things I have spoken unto thee, my people, even before coming to this place. I have been speaking to thine heart, and thou hast known indeed that the Lord thy God has been dealing with me. Yea, and the things that I have spoken unto thee, yea, can only lift thee up if thou shalt keep focus on that which I have spoken unto thee. I am the Lord, I change not, saith the Lord, but thou must change, saith God. For yea, it is by changing that thou shalt be in conformity with me. Yea, it is by submitting thyself, saith the Lord, that change shall come. And yea, even the door that I have opened unto thee, that thou mayest enter therein, it would take change to take thee and to bring thee along, saith the Lord. So yea, submit thyself unto the Lord, for I know the way because I am the way. Yea, trust in me, lean not unto thine own understanding. Yea, follow not the counsel of the unwise, saith the Lord. But yea, look in the direction that I, the Lord thy God, doth lead, saith the Lord. And thou shalt know of a truth that the destination that is before thee is not impossible. For with me, saith the Lord, all things are possible. Draw nigh unto me, draw nigh. Seek my face, call thou upon me. Walk with me, talk with me, sing to me, dance before me, rejoice before me, my people, for yea, the day has come when thou must allow the shackles to fall away, saith the Lord. And yea, it is my joy that shall be thy strength, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My presence is the fullness of joy. This joy of me is your strength. You are not here by chance. You are here for purpose. You are not here for your own. You are here for my glory. You are made for my glory. I shall not share my glory with anyone. You are mine. I am yours. We are one. I am the one who started good work in you. I am the one who sustained you even this valley of your trial in testing time. I am the God of a mountain.
Hallelujah.
I taught you on the mountain, but I will test you in the valley. But I am the same God of day.
I'm the same God in the night. I'm the one who shared completely what I have started. Because you are mine, I'm faithful. I cannot deny my body. You and I, we are one, thus saith the Lord.
Strength for thy way. Comfort. I am your keeper. Walk close beside me. Meditate on me morning, noon, and night. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise your name. Amen. We thank the Lord for speaking through various vessels and strengthening the body. And like I mentioned earlier on, that this morning that we're going to have the communion, the administration of the Lord's Supper, and Brother Matthew and Brother Bob Stenson, as they come with the deacons, we can sing this song, Into Thy Presence We Come, not by works that we have done, but by Thy grace and Thy grace alone. Into Thy presence we come.
Page 70, if you don't know it.
Important part of our service. No matter how many people gather, that is immaterial. What is important is to have the communion in our gatherings. It is called by different names, Lord's Supper, Lord's Table, or Holy Communion, or Catholics normally say Eucharist, which means celebration of great joy. In fact, communion is a celebration of great joy. It indicates that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. And we celebrate Him. We partake of Him. It's very important when we partake of the communion that we should realize we are actually
partaking of the resurrected Christ. In fact, John says, if you do not eat my flesh or do not drink my blood, you have no part in me. Which is literally saying, when we partake of the communion, we participate in the body of Jesus Christ. When we partake of the cup, we participate in the blood of Jesus Christ. Apostles, when Jesus was resurrected, when they gathered, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know, I know sometimes it's a small assembly and there aren't many people, and you kind of, it comes like a habit. It should not be. We should take it very seriously. You know, as Rick the other day said, he went to a church, hardly just one family, but he felt there were 50 people sitting there. You know, this is how we should assume, because it is not just that we are doing it just for that people. We are doing it with great reverence, great seriousness. And don't count the people, but there are angels joining us in the worship as well. Amen? I'm going to be really quick. I'm not going to take too much of... You know, in the Synoptic Gospels, you have an account of the communion so well. And we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 19 through 20, and he took bread, amen, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after saying, this is the New Testament in my blood. Understand, as you partake of the cup, we should remember there's a new covenant. There's a new agreement in his blood. The disciples had no clue the next day he will be crucified. And what he said was a prophetic word about his death, about the shedding of the blood. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, when he said that if you don't eat my flesh and don't drink my blood, they just wondered, what kind of a teaching is this? How can we eat this man? Actually, it was a prophetic word what's going to happen after Jesus was dead. Jesus was crucified. Quickly, with the communion that we partake of, remember, this was the closing of a dispensation or a time period, and dawning of a new one was at hand. This is not the Jewish Passover. This is a New Testament Eucharist established by Jesus Christ himself. In the old was, they partook of a slain lamb, but in the new, we don't partake of a slain lamb, we partake of a living lamb who is the resurrected Jesus Christ. The praise God. I just want to let you know, the bread is unleavened. The leaven is taken out. It's unleavened bread, because leaven stands for sin in the Word of God. You know, corn or wheat is ground and powdered. It goes through all this processing before it becomes that unleavened bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. And we partake of that bread of life, people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, Apostle Paul, before he speaks about the ordinance that received, he speaks about the importance of the participation, the power of participation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? We are participating in the blood of Christ. Mind, it is not transubstantiation, meaning it is not the cup or the wine literally becomes blood. We believe as the elders lay their hands and bless the cup and the bread, there is a spiritual impartation on to the elements. So I just want to let you know, the in our local assemblies, as elders, as we lay hands and pray on the elements, it is a serious matter. People have to receive that life from the bread and the wine. And the wine is also unleavened. The leaven is taken out. As Brother Prasad said, this is Lord's table. Whoever has accepted the Lord into your heart has the ability to partake of the communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read about Apostle Paul reminding, examine yourself before you take the communion. Some people take as excuse, and they examine too much on themselves, and they will say, maybe I'm not qualified to partake of the communion. People of God, nobody is that righteous to say, I'm qualified to partake of the communion. We humbly come before the Lamb of God, repenting, humbling ourselves. Amen? With a broken heart and a contrite spirit, we partake of the communion, and that's going to be a great blessing to you. Communion also, if you truly believe, don't look at the people, believe in the communion's power, and the healing will flow into your body. there have been so many testimonies how communion, when you partake of it, how you receive the healing. Because we are partaking the great physician. Amen? The great healer. People, this is very serious that we should partake of the communion and not to disregard. If there is anything that comes to your mind, we should repent. We should kind of analyze ourselves and partake of the communion. And the communion will give you that forgiveness. It has the power. It gives you the strength. It is not something we are making up. It is from the Word of God. Praise God. I'm going to read this last portion. This is actually quoted by George Warnock. I'm taking an excerpt from him writing. I believe there ought to be healing for spirit, soul, and body in the communion. Just imagine how powerful it is. But it is only as our hearts are exposed to Him and we know the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and the dominion of the Spirit of God in our lives, that the communion becomes to us a partaking of the virtues of the blood of Jesus and of His broken body. Communion is not to overly emphasize on the passion of Christ on the cross. My personal point of view, it is a time to rejoice over the communion because our Lord has resurrected and He lives. He lives in us. The more you partake of Him, His presence in our lives becomes more evident. It's only then we truly eat of His flesh and drink of His blood. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Piece that you can really hold on, not a little piece, and hold it on the right hand and examine yourself until we partake together.
Let's all partake together.
Let's pray for the cup. A loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful you have given us another day in our life to partake of this Holy Communion. Lord, Father, we lay our hands on these cups, which is your blood, which is a new covenant in your blood. Lord, as we partake of this cup, may that blessing, the divine life, the divine healing will flow unto us, O Lord, we pray. Lord, forgive us, O Lord. We are not worthy, but through the Lamb of God, through the blood of the Lamb, we are made worthy. Lord, bless this cup. Lord, especially those who are seeking healing in their body, Lord, as they partake of this cup, may the divine healing flow into them right now, O Lord, we pray. Bless us now, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Matthew and Brethren all. While our sister Amy Loggins come to sing a song, I want to share a thought with you. It has been said that it was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was divine love. Amen. It was the precious. All words cannot describe it. God's love. It was the love of God, because he could have called 10,000 angels to defend him and take him off of that cross. It was not the nails that held him. It was the love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What a beautiful picture. God sent Christ, was in him, and reconciling us back to God. A beautiful picture there, because the scripture says that greater love had no man than this, that the man laid down his life for his friend. That's the work of the cross. That's what we can rejoice and press on with the Lord. Amen.
He is so faithful.
Amen.
And this is a song about his faithfulness. So just close your eyes and hear the words, and they will probably come from your heart as well as from mine. When my strength
Right, just go ahead and tell us, say what's on your heart.
My sense is that there's a great need for breath. That as we go out, we are going to have to want to speak the words of God, the will of God. And in order to do that, we have to be able to breathe. And all week long, I've noticed that many of you are coughing and short of breath. And I'd like to pray for breath. That we can breathe and then speak out. And then I'd like y'all to sing a song. So could we do that?
Could we stand, please?
What?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus. Lord, we come before you. With the tremendous abundance that you've given us, Lord. You've given us so many things. We are rich. We are so rich. And Father, the one thing that we need is your breath in our lungs. And we would ask that you would fill us with your spirit and your breath. Fill our lungs, Lord. Help us to take deep breaths. Help us to be able to breathe out and speak your word and sing your songs and praise you, Lord. We need your breath in our lungs to be able to do that. And we would just ask that this breath, a fresh breath from you, of mountain air, would come into our lungs and we'd be able to sing your praises loudly. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've given us. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. There's a song that Ashley had on her heart this morning, but she's not going to sing it, she says. It's Breathe On Me, Breath of Life. I know some of you know that song. If a few of you who consider yourselves singers can help lead us in that, you can come up. And Pauline, why don't you join? Yeah. It's not in the Red Book. It's a hymn.
Breathe on me, breath.
You're asking the wrong person about keys. Maybe somebody else.
Breath of God?
Yeah.
Yeah, breath of God. That's what I was meant to say, yeah. I don't think it's in the Red Book.
It's not. It's not in the Red Book.
You can sing yours afterwards.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
And do what thou wilt.
a song that just a simple song I'm going to sing from came from Philippians 1:6, a very familiar verse. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, shall will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. If the struggles you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you.
Amen. Faithful is he who hath begun a good work in you. And we can rest 100% assured that he will complete it. That's God's work. And he's working in our lives, in our hearts. He's constantly doing a work in us. And so we appreciate so much the presence of the Lord among us, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do for us. Because God is greater than our circumstances. He is greater, far greater than anything else that we can think of. Greater is he that is in us than anything else that's in the world. So the Lord is very, very good. And so, while I'm being attended to here, praise God, we could now turn our attention to the scriptures, to the Word of God. And I'll say to you, sit back, relax, like what they say in flying. Fasten your seatbelt. Upright position, pay attention. We're going to be cruising 30,000 feet above. All right? We're going to be cruising into the heavenlies. And so we thank God that this is the last service for now at this camp. And so we can just look to the Lord, look to his word, look to that holy writ that he has given to us, that we can really zoom in. Purpose our lives to follow the instruction that God has given to us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, if I'm to ask you to think of just one word, when you think of all of the messages that we've been hearing during this week, just think of one word. I don't need a long sentence. I'm a one-word guy. What's the one word that comes to your mind? Just be thinking about that.
Wait.
Trust. Knowing,
hope,
unity. Submitting,
beautiful,
love, anointing,
faithful.
Grace, there's nothing wrong for you to say, if somebody has said a particular word, nothing wrong for you to repeat that word and say, just say what you were impressed by.
Let's continue in a few more seconds. Ready?
Wait.
Wait. Faith.
Door. Help.
Help.
Narrow.
Yes. Yes. What else?
Spirit.
Spirit.
Promise.
Promise.
Endurance.
Endurance.
Singing.
Singing.
Help.
Help. Yes.
Prophesy.
Prophesy. Amen. Everybody's got a... But they're all... culminate. Pardon me?
Peace.
Peace. Culminating into different words. But you know what? This may be a little disappointing. We can't use all these words. We can't speak on all these words. Because I was thinking about one word that encapsulates all, to summarize and put it all together on the one word. And so we'll see what the word is. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time here. Thank you for your word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you for your promises in your word. Thank you for the work that you have begun according to your word, that you will complete it unto the end. Bless us, dear God. Anoint our ears. Anoint our hearts. May we be receptive to receive from you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm thinking about an example here. And that example that I'm thinking of is in South America. We have a little worm, sort of a millipede. And when you touch that worm, that millipede, it coils itself around. In other words, crush me if you want to. I'm submitted to you. But if you go to places like in India and Africa and these places, there's the cobra. And you go to touch that cobra, you better be careful. Because what happens? They will snap back at you. And they will bite you. And the next thing you know, you'll be heading for a hospital. But, so those two words, I want to share on. And I look at the messages that we've been hearing. And I try to put all together in one simple word. And you'll see that word later on. But one of the things... with the worm is more a submission. Said, well, okay, I'm in your hands. But with the cobra or the serpent hisses back. That's rebellion and fighting. And there's such a vast difference between the two creatures. And so this morning I would like to encapsulate all of the messages as much as possible, which is difficult to do in a few minutes, but I'd like to use that word, submission. Submission. And like as I had mentioned, that the mission of Global Mission is submission. And that's what I tell the people all over the place to be go, what's really your mission? It's difficult for some people to understand the order of the church. And I have to start from the order of the home. It's the father and the mother and the children. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
So the children submit to mom and dad. Right, Paige? Yes. Right, Elijah?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. These are my guys, so I can call them out. And so the kids submit to mom and dad. And the mom is considered the deacon in the home. The dad is considered the elder in the home. And so as this family, the family structure, submits to the Lord, submit to Christ, and Christ submits to who? His Father. So there's submission right through, starting from the family. We look at the extended family, which is the local church. We found that there are elders, deacons, and the congregation. And it's the same. The congregation, all of us here, we submit to the deacons, and the elders. The elders submit to Christ. And Christ, who has taught us that beautiful example of submission, he submits to his Father. Isn't that wonderful? What better example? What I found about Christ, he has never told us anything that he has not shown us the way. There's a common saying, he that shows the way knows the way, and he that knows the way goes the way. That's quite powerful leadership. That's powerful example. And this is what Jesus has done. And so, when we look at submission in its very aspects here, submission. What I did, I extracted from the dictionary the meaning of submission. And what I have here on screen is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or to the authority of another person. This is the dictionary's meaning. I'm coming to you with a secular thought here, even though not all things spiritual. So this is the meaning of submission from the dictionary. The action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or to the authority of another person. Submission is a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Are you, any one of us, we are discouraged with the fact that we have to submit to our God? I love the fact that I have to submit to our God. It's a wonderful thing. In other words, I'm leaving it all to you, Lord. Yeah. I'm doing what I can do, and submission to him is depending on him. Submission. I also was thinking about the opposite of submission. And what's the opposite of submission? We can either submit or we rebel. But, you know, and I look within the churches, I look among people, let it be organizations, and we see lots of rebellious people. They do not want to adhere to the rules. They do not want to submit. They want to create their own rules. So it's always this friction taking place. But God does not want that of us. Now, submission, the opposite of submission is rebellion. And what is rebellion? It's right on the screen here. It says, an act of violent or open resistance to an established government or ruler. We learned about the spiritual government and about the human government. And all over the world, I want to, just for a moment, just focus your attention on what's happening in the world today, in the governments of the world. Everybody always fighting against each other and finding it difficult, rebelling, and just not flowing on and being obedient to the laws of the land, being flowing together and seeing the purpose of achievement in those countries. Instead, there's always some fighting against each other. So God has called us not to be rebellious. He spoke to Israel. He said to them, you're rebellious, you're stiff-necked, you're hard-hearted, you're just not obeying my word. God has laid his word and he expects us to obey it. Amen?
Amen.
So these are some of the things that we went through the scriptures, and it's difficult to extract, but what I did is that I extract just one or two scriptures from each one of the messages. And the first message we have is submission. Here again, I'm going to be harping on this word from now until you go through that door. Submission. And submission, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we were ministered unto the necessity and power of the anointing in the church. The anointing of the Spirit. The anointing can only be... this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not emotionalism. And Luke chapter 4 verse 18 states what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel. Isn't that so? To the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the receiving, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And Jesus himself quoted those words in the book of Luke. But he extracted those words from Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. And he, it has been said, this is according to the tradition of the Jewish people there. There is always an empty chair in the synagogue. And they would go and they would read different portions of the Mishnah and the Torah and so forth, just in these synagogues. And by the way, and today, if you were in Israel, they would say Shabbat Shalom, meaning it's the Sabbath and it's the Holy Sabbath. And you will find in Tel Aviv, the place would be so quiet. There is no much traffic, very few traffic on the road. But the moment it hits at 6 o'clock on Saturday, that city just comes alive. Comes alive suddenly. Because that's the rule. And God has called us not to be bound by rules. He's called us to be led of the Spirit. And that's the submission I'm talking about. Submission to the promise of the Holy Ghost. He's promised the Holy Ghost to the church. And he has promised that Holy Ghost to the church. Because the Holy Ghost is the lifeblood of the church. Without the Holy Ghost, we cannot do anything in ourselves. We preach, pray, sing, prophesy, you name it. We have to do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've heard so many times. That it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. That was the first day, I think. And then we learned about what people call the Lord's Prayer. We sang the Lord's Prayer. And someone mentioned about Brother York. And such good memories of Brother York. But here again, submission to the will of God. Not to our will. Our will represents that serpent that wanted his back. Give me my way. If not, it's the highway. And we fight and we struggle with those things. But the moment we found the secret is just giving it all over to the Lord. How do we do that? I have a brother here. He would say to me, the great how. The great how. How do we do that? It's simple. Just go before God. Spend that time in prayer. And let the Lord just deal with your heart. Cry before him. Pour out your heart before him. And he'll do a work. And he will strengthen you. I tell you, the songwriter says, sweet hour of prayer. You go and spend that time in prayer. Seriously focusing on the things of God. And what he wants in your life. After 1 hour, you get up there. You're a different person. The changes very often do not happen outwardly. It starts here. Thy kingdom come. Submission to his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is already being perfect in heaven. So God wants us to fulfill his will so that his will could be done on earth. We are the agents. Now, I don't know, but God wants to work through us, the church. That purifying or that purity. God is purifying us. He's not purifying the world, you know. Have you ever thought about that? He's purifying the church. Yeah. Why? He's purifying the church and not the world. We often like to look at other people. Why are they not getting the same treatment I'm getting? You're special. And God is purifying us. So he wants us to be pure. We are the agency that will bring the world to him. Yes. Amen. That's who he's called us. The ministry of reconciliation. That word of reconciliation. That act of reconciliation. To do God's business. To just bring men and women through. The church is responsible for doing that. One of the key objectives of the church. Can anybody tell me? Is to be in the image of the Son. In Christ. That's it. Amen, young people. That's it. To be in the image of the Son. And I love that. Don't you love to be like Jesus Christ? That's great. That's ambitious. That's what we should be thinking of. Anyway, it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And that's a beautiful prayer that I know we know from our hearts. Then we learned about that, I don't know if they call it, I don't want to use the word embroidery, but that kind of string that our brother had here, and that cord wrapping together and strengthening. And it says, and that was taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. But can you say it with me? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Hallelujah! Isn't that powerful? God is saying that to us, just waiting on Him. I've learned something, that waiting time is adjusting time. Waiting time, when we wait on God, He is wrapping His strength around us. He's preparing us. Why are we weak? Why are we not being as strong as we should? We need to spend that time with God, waiting Amen. Before Him.
Amen.
And to renew our strength.
Hallelujah.
Renew our strength. Like the eagles soaring way into the heavens and into the mountains. And they shall run and not be weary. Could you imagine that? As the people of God, could you imagine we are running and nothing and not be weary? And walking and not fainting? Well, that's what we need.
Amen.
In this hour, with all that's going on, we need that extra energy, that extra boost, and that could only come. Waiting on the Lord. Wait, David said, "Wait, and I say unto you, wait on the Lord."
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know my time. Time is just. Then we learned about obedience. Submission by obedience, via obedience. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and lo, a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God is looking down to us as we submit to Him, as we obey His will. There's submission. Your obedience is the key. Obedience is very, very important. I remember I spoke to some kids and I was saying to them, your parents, if you know the secret, and you guys know the secret, you young people, you just obey mom, obey dad, and I tell you, you can get anything from them. Isn't that so? You know the secret. Well, our God, once we obey Him and we follow His instructions, oh, He loved. There is a powerful blessing. It's just automatic. But when we disobey and we rebel, then we, you know, and the Lord has to chastise us, bring us in line, and bring us in line until we follow the pathway. But if we are obedient and we follow carefully, submit, God will bless us.
Amen.
Amen? And here again, Jesus was the example. Christ, our example. He was obedient. Even to the death of the cross.
Yes.
Beautiful to know when He was going to be baptized. The Lord spoke, that dove that descended, and the presence of the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Isn't that encouraging?
Amen.
And so I'll encourage us as we continually get in place with God, as we continually be faithful and continue to serve Him. It's so encouraging when the Lord can say these things. And there have been some prophecies over and over, and the Lord saying to you, "My child, I love you. I appreciate," and the songs that you sing, those love songs, those songs of worship. After all, that's why we were created in His likeness, in His image, that we should worship God in everything that we do. So, then we have the submission in the kingdom of God. And we have lots of scriptures and these here, but the one that comes to mind was, the kingdom of God is within grasp or within reach. The kingdom of God is right here. We don't have to go looking all over, right? We don't have to be looking all over. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and that was John the Baptist, and he was preaching. He was considered the forerunner of Christ. And he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent simply means, as we know, to make a 180 degrees turn and go in the opposite direction. Repent. And they, incidentally, the churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches, all of the messages to the seven churches, there is one factor that was there. Repent, repent, repent. Repent. And so, in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, neither say, lo here or lo there, for behold, where is the kingdom of God? Within you, within me. Here resides the kingdom of God on earth. Or should I say, the kingdom of God on earth and earth in the kingdom of God. That's what God's intention is to be. So we are this transformative agent that God will use. The kingdom of God is within you. Within you. So when many are seeking for signs, they're saying, you know, as the scripture says, lo, he's there, lo, there, and we're kind of searching. Itching ears, as the scripture may mention. We're being tossed to and fro, just like the ship out at sea. But submission to the kingdom of God. And submission to the kingdom and our responsibility. In submitting to God, we have a tremendous responsibility. And the first scripture that is up on the board here is John chapter 12, verse 24. Am I moving too fast for you guys? Or it's okay. Okay. All right. Good. Because I know you can write faster than the older folks. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, what happens? It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Isn't that wonderful? That's below the surface. And I was telling Brother Haney last night, the power of the iceberg. I don't mean cold Christians. I mean the power of the iceberg, where one-tenth is above the level of the water and nine-tenths is below. So when you see an iceberg, you think, oh, it's just one, oh, that's a small iceberg. And that's the mistake that the great Titanic. That's the mistake that the Titanic did, because she hit the iceberg. Oh, that's a piece of cake that you say in America. That was easy, right? And then the second one, I think, they said, oh, we can do this again. And they underestimated the nine-tenths below. That's the depth. That's how that nine-tenths represents our ministry, our prayer life, our walk with God. When people see us, maybe they only see the one-tenth. The nine-tenths is what I mentioned, is the unseen, the unknown, and the unheard of. Amen?
Amen.
That's what God wants of us. He wants, not so that we can get any glory. We want Him to get the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that corn of wheat falls into the ground and something takes place below the earth's surface. The unseen, the unknown, and the unheard of. That's a work of God. That's a work of God right there. He begins to work and work. And then suddenly you see a shoot comes up. And then, you know, ears of corn and the evidence. That's only the work of God. That's only the work of God. Yeah, we might be able to, in North America, we are brilliant. There are scientists and so on, and they're brilliant. You can throw some fertilizer and you can do everything else which will speed up the growth. All that is good. But behind all of that, it's the work of God. Amen. So the other scripture here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's a big word. Along with responsibility, that's a big word. That's submission, and along with submission is responsibility. Responsibility. That we are responsible for yielding ourselves to God. We are responsible for letting God do His work. Sometimes we are crushed. We are in that cold, moist earth, just like that grain that's below the surface. But God is working, quietly working. And that's what we are exhorted to do, just to lean upon Him. He's doing a work far greater than He is. Then what I'm going to do, I have everything just summarized there. So the first one we have is what? Submission to God. Can you say it with me? Submission to God, who is the ultimate authority. Isn't that so, Brother Ted?
Yes, sir.
I think I mentioned about that. There is submission, the promise of the Holy Spirit, submission to the will of God, submission of waiting on the Lord, submission by obedience, submission in the kingdom of God, submission to the kingdom and our responsibility. Submission.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You for all that You have done. We praise Your precious name. And dear Lord, we pray that You will make us a submissive people.
Yes.
And be with us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to sing that song. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and the... Those, a few people that know it, can you just come up front here? And let's really sing this song. And some good news that we are going to close our service a little early today. So if there is any anxieties of travels and packing and so on, just lay that aside. So we're going to sing that song, The Kingdom of God. Can we all stand? I feel...
tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit here all week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Just a few items, as I'd mentioned to you last night, or I guess the day before. In your rooms, you don't need to make up your beds. You don't need to take the linens off. There shouldn't be, unless there's a major mess of some sort, let me know. But otherwise, you shouldn't have anything to do other than make sure you collect all of your belongings and take them with you. Leave all of the drawers in your on the dressers and the nightstands open. And when you are ready to leave, make sure your door to your room is wide open. Are there any questions? We have one more person would be helpful. One or two more people. Great. Awesome. We've got you guys. Yes. The keys can be dropped in there's a little wire basket in the lobby there at the desk. You can just drop them in there. Excuse me?
Like even without the holder?
Yeah, that's fine.
Air conditioning?
Thank you, Ashley. Leave the AC on 72 before you leave the room. Any other questions? Let's stand, please, and we'll end with a word of prayer. Yes?
Do you think we could sing Scott Be Wicked Till We Meet Again?
Yes. Why don't we get the young people up here?
Yeah.
Amen. All you young people, come on. Joe, could you come up, please? Come on, young people. God be with you till we meet again. Hold hands, let's hold hands. I need to say this because Stuart, there are a lot of people who are doing a lot of things to make this camp successful. And I, working with the young people, working with the children, all of the things that go on behind the scenes, I've had a lot of help. And so it's a team effort. The brethren and the hours that they spend preparing for this meeting, it is a family of God, and we take care of one another. So thank you. I appreciate it. But keep in mind, there are a lot of people that are helping. So thank you. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.